Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here tonight on the Sedona Connection. I want to welcome you to the program tonight. It's June 15th in the year 2014. Hey, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, everybody. Last week's program, I enjoyed it. How do I say that about myself? But it's also showing in the response by the many of you folks and the amount of listeners that have been calling in. Last week's program is the most listened to program that I've had since I've been on the air in late September. Obviously, it seems to be picking up. Numbers are growing. I want to say thank you. I'm here to just do what I can to help to serve. It's something that I love to do. And, you know, when you start doing, you know, a blog spot and a newsletter and a radio program, and all of a sudden, you know, it seems to pick up and the audience picks up, there's always this push on you to do more stuff, to promote it more, to make it be more popular, to get more listeners. You know, folks, I don't go there. I'm just going to tell you, here's who I am. This is what I have to say. This is what I have to share. And I trust that the people who read my newsletter, watch my videos, and listen to the radio program, the ones that are supposed to do it are the ones that do it. And the ones that are supposed to, they find their way to it. You share it with friends, even with others. It somehow gets posted on another blog site. You know, it's funny. Articles that I've written that I thought in the back of my mind, now this is one I really want to get out there. This is really good. I want everybody to read this. And it doesn't get posted anywhere. And then I'll go out and I'll do a video that I just send out to my email list. And the next thing I know, it's gone viral on blog sites. And I've got 15,000 people who have viewed it. So for the life of me, I don't figure it out. So I don't try. So what I want you to know is that if you see a newsletter of mine or a video newsletter of mine on another blog site, I'm not the one who puts it there. Others do that, and, you know, if you're free to do that, if that's what you want to do, if you feel that's important. I'm here to share what I know, to share my opinions, and that's what I do. I love what I do, and I let it take its own course of action. So, okay, a couple things. Last month, I had shared with you that I was on the Discovery Channel because in a program called Uncovering Aliens, it did really well. They showed it a second time in prime time, and it has not only done so well, guess what? It's on the air right now while we're having the radio program. They are actually doing now all four of the segments. And what I saw is they're doing three of the segments tonight, back to back. You can go to the Science Channel on the Discovery Channel, and they're showing it there instead of the Animal Planet program. And it's all about, you know, four people who are investigators of uncovering, you know, the reality of UFOs and aliens here in the United States. The first one, Uncovering the Aliens, the Black Ops, was filmed here in Sedona. And I was in it, and I basically am testifying as a former state senator who says, yeah, government lies and government covers up. And that's my intent. See, my intent, whether I talk about here the issues with the dinar and the currency resets, it's tell the truth. That's always been my focus, and that's what I do. That's one of the focuses why I'm here as well. But that's on tonight. If you want to shut this off and go watch that and come back and listen to it archived, hey, I'm okay with it because, you know, folks, here's the reality, is about 80% of the people who listen to this program listen to it archived. They don't listen to it live. But yet we do get good live audiences. I want you to know that. I mean, we had last week over 400 people had listened to the program live. And so, I don't really care about yes, I care about the numbers, but I'm not into this where I have to keep promoting it to get my numbers higher to make me feel better. I'm here to serve you. If it's serving for you, if it's meeting that function, then great. Okay? Hey, I want to comment one thing. I sent out a newsletter a couple of days ago about being careful about what you're reading what you're sending out to other people. There was an article that had come out that had been posted back in November by a guy by the name of Judge Dale. And what I when he came out with the article, I wrote a newsletter the next day saying, this guy isn't a judge. If he is a judge, he really doesn't know what he's talking about. Because he put enough really good stuff in there to make it sound official. And he used a name that there is this, quote, this guy, Judge Dale, out there. But nowhere do we know that that is the Judge Dale. Anybody could put that together and put that out there. Anybody could use that name. And if there's no, if he doesn't in the statements give any clarification of who he is or verification of who he is, then how do we know? But here's what I can tell you. He's talking about the NDA issue. And he makes statements that no judge should be making those statements and be a judge because it's just flat out wrong. It doesn't fit up with what is called judicial law. It doesn't fit up with what is called kind of a due process within our Constitution. And he's saying things like the limits on $5,000 and how you can transfer money into banks. Folks, hardly any of that is true. Here's what is happening for me, and I put this out in today's newsletter and in the video I sent out today. There's getting to be so much chatter, and that's what I call it, chatter around the whole reval issue. And I made a comment is when everything is set aside, it all comes down to one bottom line issue for this to be real for us. Who's going to foot the bill? Who's going to come up with the trillions of dollars that are necessary to be able to pay for the reval of the dinar and the dong and possibly the Indonesian and the Zimbabwe currencies as well? Who's going to foot the bill for all of that? Until that question is appropriately answered with verification, everything else is secondary to that, and everything else is just a bunch of chatter. It's a bunch of talk because we don't know what's going to happen until it happens. So when you see an article like that comes up, or you see statements that are made from some of the different blog writers, just be careful before you spread it. It's the old term. It's called gossip. Gossip is putting something out there that you don't absolutely know if it's right or not. And so far, there haven't been hardly any of the blog writers who have been able to, in the projections, who have been right. And so, but when you take something that they say that you don't know is correct, and then you send it out in emails and talk about it with friends, we become guilty of gossip. We all do. I've done it. I found myself doing it, and I stopped. And I thought, wait a minute. I don't want to be involved in creating this type of a scenario and this type of an energy and just continuing to put out a bunch of gossip that I don't know is true. So when I say something, it's usually because it's my opinion of how I formed, you know, an opinion. And if it's not so, I say it's not so. And folks, those of you who email to me and I respond back to you individually in the email, you will find a lot of you say, folks, I don't know. And we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen until it's going to happen. We don't know what the 800 numbers are going to be like. We don't know what the rates are going to be like. We don't know if there's going to be a time frame. We don't know if there's going to be an NDA. Who is it going to apply to? Who is it not going to apply to? Are the rates going to be the same inside the United States versus outside the United States? You folks that don't live in the United States, are you going to be penalized because you're not in the United States? Are there going to be contract rates, market rates? Who knows what? Opinions are all over the map on this stuff. And so I formed for myself so I can keep my sanity through all of this situation. What I do, I just say, is that just a bunch of chatter? I come back to those bottom line questions. Does this fit into who's going to foot the bill? Now, there's different probabilities of who's going to foot the bill. Does it fit into that? And if it doesn't fit into that, then I just let it be. And I figure, you know, we'll know when we're going to know. And I'm not going to get all caught up with a bunch of anxiety, a bunch of drama thoughts, a bunch of tension, or whatever, or a bunch of fear. I'm just going to let it, and I'll figure it out. We'll know what to do when it happens. So I'm talking about when is it going to happen. There was a really good post that came out yesterday from Poof and Zap. And that I've been following them for more than 2 years, and they, to me, have always been more reliable because, see, they come the closest to answering that question of who's going to foot the bill. And you know where I come from. If the rates are going to be anywhere close to what was posted today by TNT Tony, and the upper rates of $32, folks, there isn't that much money anywhere on this planet except for one source, and that's the Dragon family. They're the only ones. Even if the rates are at $3.5 to $4 for the dinar and 47 cents for the dong, with the trillions and trillions of dinar that are now out there all around the world, they're the only ones that can really pay that. So if they aren't stepping up to pay that, most of this stuff is just a bunch of chatter. There isn't much of a basis to it because you have three different scenarios of where the money is going to come from. One is you're working within the context of the current economic structure and the current money that is available there on the market today, the banks around the world. I can tell you right now, if that's what we're limited to and everybody catches in their dinar and their dinong, I think we're not going to see much more than $1 to $1.16 on the dinar. Okay? The second scenario is the oil credits issue and the trillions of dollars in bonds that China has. That could make a realistic rate of the dinar around 350. I don't see it supporting the dinar at 350 and the dong at a higher rate. The dong is going to be then get down to the 47 to 50 cent rate in that. There is a probability or possibility of that. But if you believe in the thousands of trillions of dollars in gold that is held by the Dragon family in China, and which has been kept quiet for centuries, then yeah, it could be higher rates. It really could be some probability that is there, okay? And I just wanted to touch base on that. Excuse me. One other thing. Some of you ask, why the Sedona connection? Well, I love it here, folks. This is a very special place. It's a magical place. In fact, there was a posting today on some of the 10 best small towns in America. And Sedona was on that list as being one of the best small towns in America. Sedona itself is not very big. In the city, the population is only around 11,000. Then there's another section outside the city called the Village of Oak Creek. It's not inside the city limits. But the whole area only has around 20,000 people. So it's not a huge area. But it's one of the most beautiful areas in the country. And I love it here. It's home for me. I was drawn to this place. I told you I lived in the Seattle area for 32 years. I loved it there, except the winter rains began to build on me, and I was just ready for a change. But there was an interesting article that was posted this week about Sedona, and people would say, what is it that's so special? What is it that is so different? Why does it attract 4 million visitors a year, and over half of those visitors fit into what you would call that new age, new thought, metaphysical type of folks? Well, they finally had found a scientist who had been here and had been doing some studies, and he said, yeah, I can measure it. It's because I always come back and I tell folks this. The Earth has an electromagnetic atmosphere around the Earth. We all know that. That's basic science. There's an electromagnetic field of energy that surrounds the Earth. And there are places that this electromagnetic energy enters into and comes out of the Earth. It doesn't just totally surround it. It goes in and comes out, penetrates all the way through. Well, Sedona is one of those places. And why? If you come here, it's called the Red Rock Country. The dirt, the mountains all around here are red because they're filled with iron and copper, extremely high content of iron and copper here in the earth. And it's an area that's only around 10 to 15 miles in radius, and once you get outside of it, it's not like that anymore. Not only do you have the high iron content in the ground, and remember, iron is an electricity conductor, so it attracts the electromagnetic energy that is around and in the earth. There is also found to be a very high concentration of quartz crystals in the ground. When you have those two combinations, it's extremely rare of any place that is on the earth. So what it does, it intensifies the electromagnetic energy. And that's why we have what are called these vortexes of energy that is in this area. This is an area where the electromagnetic energy of the Earth is stronger than most other places on the planet. And we as human beings are basically energy beings. We are comprised of energy. Everything in the universe is comprised of energy, because when you get it right down to the very bottom of what's at the very root of all the atoms and the molecules within anything that is matter, it's all energy. And so that, and all energy vibrates at a different frequency. Well, when you come into this area, it's going to increase the vibrational energy in your body, in your being, in your senses. And people who are energy empaths, they are sensitive to that energy, it's going to attract them. And I'm one of those. It attracts me. I feel the energy that is here. I sense the energy that is here. In some ways, I am an energy empath. And so that's why I'm very sympathetic to what goes on here in Sedona. And that's why I like to say this is the Sedona connection. It's a different place. It's a wonderful place. It's a beautiful place. It's a magical place. Introductions of the program tonight. So what is this stuff of what's going on? And what is the bigger picture? What is the part two? What is the global currency collapse in contrast to the global currency reset? Well, if you got today's newsletter, I mentioned some really good sources in there that you can do some follow-up work on yourself. And the best one, the absolute best one, is it's a book. I don't know if you'd call it a long, long series of articles or in a book form, but he hasn't really totally put it into the PDF book, but it's like it. And it's written by David Wilcock, and it's on his website called The Divine Cosmos. Go to my website if you don't capture this on the radio, and you'll see the link to today's newsletter, and there you'll see the link to his website. And then you have to go into the Start Here tab at the top, and then you have to go into and find all of his articles. And you'll see financial tyranny, and there's two parts to it. Part has 6 sections in it, and the second part has 10 sections. And folks, it's long. Now, what I did, I took it and I copied it to a Microsoft Word document. And between the two parts, it's over 500 pages. Now, it's not all yellow, because when you put it into a Word document, there's a lot of white space, lots of pictures and all that kind of stuff. But it's about equivalent to 2 to 250-page book. This guy did his research. And he shows you and displays and researches and builds the fact, builds the story, that there is an elite group of people. They consider themselves elitists, and they have been referred to as the Illuminati. And if you understand who the Illuminati is, they consider themselves to be more enlightened, more superior than the human race. And what they do, they use their domination and their control to keep themselves in that position. It's like, we're better than everybody else. And they keep that a secret. The Illuminati traces back centuries. But David Wilcock goes back about 250 years. It starts with the fall of the Templar. And when the Templar falls, there becomes the movement of the Freemasons. And the Freemasons are a secret you see happening throughout most of Europe and the United States. Almost all of the founding fathers were Freemasons. The whole organization, structure, leadership, political leadership, business leadership, money leadership in the United States for its almost first, I would say, 50 to 80 years was around Freemasons. Freemasons ran and controlled this country. Then they go through a catastrophe where about 45,000 of the chapters, or 45,000 members around the country, they quit because of a murder that had happened on one of the members. But they didn't go away. Freemasons didn't go away. They re-resurrected as a smaller group, more powerful group, and that's when they became known more as the Illuminati. And all these Illuminati, as this continued to progress, they began to dominate the world's money supply. And you trace this all the way back to the late 1700s with the Rothschild family. The Rothschild family is the most premier, dominant, powerful, wealthy banking family on the planet. When the father of the Rothschilds, he had 4 sons, and he branched these sons out to become dominant finance people in 4 different countries. Great Britain, Germany, and Italy. They ended up controlling basically the money supply in Europe, and then they used that influence to stretch it out to the United States after the United States became a country. Okay. What you see there also, there's this famous quote, and I forgot by which one of the Rothschild sons that it was, but he basically said, give me the control of a country's currency, and I will control the country, regardless of what laws they pass. And has that ever come true? Because now it is true throughout what I would call mostly the original G7 countries, the biggest Western economic countries in the world, the top seven. And I don't include the G8 because Russia was the eighth country, and I am not totally convinced yet that Russia has been under the influence of the Rothschilds. They may be coming that way. I don't know. I'm not even going to go into detail on that. Out of that came the birthing of the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve was formed about 100 years ago. When you go into our United States Constitution, it says in there that only Congress is allowed to print money. Then, if only Congress is allowed to do that, why is it that the Federal Reserve is doing it and Congress isn't doing it? When it says that only Congress can do it, it means Congress has the ability, has the right, to pass a law to delegate it under their authority to somebody else. And they gave that authority to the Federal Reserve. And they have since then basically taken their hands off and allowed the Federal Reserve to do whatever they wanted on banking systems and money supply within the United States. The Federal Reserve, if you understand how they work, they are not here to serve the people. They're here to serve the banks. They're here to serve themselves at the expense of people. And when you understand who controls the Federal Reserve, that's when you begin to realize that they are the one that they control the world's money supply. They are run by that you would call the cabal, the Illuminati, the banking cartel, the New World Order, whatever name you want to give to them. It's these people that consider themselves to be superior, elite, better than everybody else, and to me they're addicted to their power. They're addicted to their sense of power. And their issue is to keep the world's population in a slavery status to them. Now, is it slaves like what we had in America, you know, prior to the Civil War? No, not that type of a slavery. It's slavery of the fact that you are not free to do what you want when you want. It's a form of a financial slavery that you just can't quit your job and go do whatever you want because you don't have to worry about money. Money controls you. It keeps you, the lack of money keeps you from doing what you want, finding who you really are, fulfilling the passions and desires of your heart, being able to be free to do the things of what you like to do in serving other people. We become slaves to our lack of money, jobs, and our debt. And debt is a form that they have used to keep us in slavery for centuries, in one form or another, or to keep us obligated to serving them. They control the world's money supply. Another thing about the Federal Reserve is they have the ability to print up any amount of money at any time that they want to. The Federal Reserve has always opposed what would be a asset-backed currency. Excuse me there for just a moment. My throat was getting a little dry. I had to take a drink of some iced tea that I have here. And why do they want to do that? Gold has been the primary asset to back currencies around the world. And when you have an asset backed currencies, what happens is one country will have a tendency to collect more gold than another. There will be a limited amount of gold supply that would be out there. And then by doing that is that they can't control the whole world's money supply because somebody else can gain an upper hand on them. As long as there was asset-backed currencies, they did not have the ability to be able to keep their domination under control. So that was always the reasons why they either wanted to move away from asset-backed currencies or limit the amount of assets. Now, when the Federal Reserve came into existence in 1913, we did have asset-backed currencies backed by gold. But you want to know what they did? they put a limit. They took the majority of the world's gold off the market. They off-listed. It's not listed on the open market. It's on the what you call on the backlist. There's literally trillions and trillions of dollars of gold out there around the world that is not on the available market to trade. They control that. And by controlling that, because they limit the amount of gold that is available, they therefore limit someone else's ability to accumulate gold to become more powerful than them. They did that, and up until 1971, when in the United States, President Nixon took us off the gold standard. So in one form or another, they've always controlled that. But when gold became more prevalent, that's when they made the move. When currencies are fiat currencies, which means they can manipulate the supply of the money, printing up more, reducing it, they can control the money, which through them gives them the ability to control the people. They also, you can do the research and you will find how they have basically controlled economic ebbs and flows through the last century. The biggest example was the Great Depression. A lot of people don't realize, and you aren't going to see this in your history books because they control the education system as well, but you aren't going to see in your history books the fact that it was a manipulated market, millions and millions of people into an economic bondage. People suffered. People starved. People hurt. Millions of people. There was a small group that became extremely wealthy. Billionaires were created. And this is billionaires in 1930 dollars. Were created out of the Depression. But you don't hear much about that. What's interesting is what David Wilcock talks about in his book, is how the Illuminati basically controls the world. And I mentioned this in the video I did today, the video newsletter. There are about 1,400 corporations around the world that produce about 80% of the world's economic growth, gross domestic product. But when you dig down into who controls those corporations, what you really saw was that there were 140 of those corporations controlled directly or indirectly on the rest of them. So they become what is called the super corporations. But when you take that down one more level, you find there are about 40 corporations that have control directly or indirectly or dominance over that 140. And so they are the ones that really call the shots. Because see, if you aren't in the top power position, you may have a corporation that is within a certain economic sector, but you are not the giant of that sector, so you can't control that sector. You just have to go with the flow of that sector, and somebody else is the one that really controls it. The example would be, let's say, the software industry. Bottom line, Microsoft dominates the software industry. Okay, you could be out there as another software company, but you are still subject in some way or another to the domination and the control of Microsoft. That's an illustration. But you take that now and you look at those 40 corporations. Over half of them are banks, which have the extreme wealth. And then you begin to realize that those that are not banks, the others that are the next strongest sector is the medical industry, predominantly the pharmaceutical industry. And we know the pharmaceutical industry pretty much dominates and controls the whole medical health industry, whether it's doctors, hospitals, insurance companies. Some way, they are all subject to the control of the pharmaceutical industry. And I don't even need to go into, you can understand and know what I'm saying about how the pharmaceutical industry isn't into curing people, they're into keeping people sick so they can keep making their profit. The more in your need of their drugs, the more in your need of their drugs, the more profit that they have. Okay. You look at those 40 corporations and you look at who their CEOs are and who their board of directors are, all of a sudden you start seeing them appearing on the same corporations throughout each other. You start seeing them appearing on the Federal Reserve banks and branches around the United States. You start seeing those same names appearing on the boards of the World Bank, the Bank of International Settlements, the International Monetary Fund, etc. So it's a small group of people that control the money industry. And here's a little known factor. The Rockefellers is one of those top four families that runs the Federal Reserve. The Rockefeller Foundation founded and funded the National Education Association, which is the teachers union, which is the biggest and most powerful union in the world. So now you see that the Rockefellers, the Federal Reserve, the Illuminati, the corporate 40, they basically control the education system in the United States. And a lot of people will tell you, the education system, the public education system in the United States wasn't really set up to educate as much as it was set up to create employees for their corporations, to create economic slaves for their corporations. That's in essence what it was. They had to have a certain degree and level of education so they can work in their businesses and make their businesses be prosperous. The second thing is the American Medical Association basically controls the medical healthcare industry. The Rockefeller Foundation, in its initial support, funded and founded the American Medical Association. So here's what you see. This group of 40, which controls the Federal Reserve, which controls the world's money supply, also controls the education system in the United States. They also control the medical industry within the United States. And we also know that they control the media and entertainment industries in the United States. And we also know that they indirectly control the political system through the financial contributions of the campaigns to get elected to office. What you begin to see is there's this small group of people that basically control all the financial affairs of all the major industries, not only in the United States, but all around the world. Their control is either direct or indirect is what it is. Now, why is that? Because underneath it, to me, I consider them to be elite sociopaths. Are they elitist? Yes. Are they sharp? Are they smart? Yes. Are they wise in some ways? Yes. Are they addicted to their sociopathic power? Yes. That's what I see. This is a group of people who consider themselves to be illuminated, enlightened, better than the rest of us, and they will attempt to do whatever it is to keep us in a form of economic slavery to them. Their desire has always been to form a one-world government and a one-world currency. And with that, they have been leading up to this global currency collapse, to collapse the world's money supply so it is absolutely worthless. And then when it is there, they would have the ability to step in and create a new one-world currency and to basically form a one-world government. Because governments can't function without money. The people can't function without money. And then when they control it, they've got their control. How would they do that? When you have fiat currencies, they're subject to the ups and downs, and they're subject to inflation. And the more a currency inflates, the less worth it has. Now, let's go back to 2008, 6 years, well, 5.5 years ago, when we had the economic crash in September of 2008, and it started with the fall of Lehman Brothers, when Lehman Brothers went under. What that did, it started a snowball effect where the Dow Jones average stock market indicator dropped 53% in about 6 months. What that meant was about 50 to 60% of the people in America lost 30% or more of their retirement funds. What it also meant was that the real estate market in the United States dropped 30 to 50% over a couple of years. And so it meant millions and millions of people were underwater in their homes, or they lost their homes to foreclosures. What that meant was millions and millions of more people came under the form of economic slavery to the ruling elite. They do this by manipulating the money supply, by manipulating the value of the money supply, by manipulating the value of the stock market, by manipulating the value of gold, by manipulating the value of oil. The market, oil, and gold are the biggest indicators of how they can have control, because we're all dependent upon oil. Gold becomes the determining factor, and the market determines how well of a retirement you're going to have. Because, see, over 60% of the people in America have money in the stock market. They have it in their 401k accounts, their retirement accounts. So their retirement is dependent upon how well the market is doing. Now, that's another story of how the market is at an all-time high right now. I'm not going to get into that tonight, but that's a manipulation to keep them at bay, to keep them silent so that they're content because, oh, my retirement's doing well. I'm okay. By taking 60% of the people who have their retirement accounts in the market and by manipulating the market and putting it at an all-time high, when the economy is in shambles, these two just don't line up. What they do, they keep the people asleep. Because they're not worried, they're not concerned, they're not looking, they're not investigating, they're not saying what's going on. Now, why do they want the money to collapse? Here's what happens. As countries become farther and farther in debt, the currencies of those countries lose their value. All of the G8 countries are theoretically bankrupt. They are farther in debt beyond their ability to repay. Their gross domestic product will not produce enough revenue through taxation to get themselves out of debt. When that happens, it's only a matter of time before they collapse. You know, you can only live in bankruptcy. You can only keep living on credit cards for a certain period of time till you hit the point where I can't go any farther. I can't live on my credit cards anymore. Well, that's what the G8 countries are doing. So what happens is it's going to collapse. When that collapses, it gives them the ability to come in and gain the control. Now, I mentioned this in the video, and David Wilcock was into really great detail on this. In 2008, when the crash started, Congress would say, help us out, please bail us out. We are banks that are too big to fail. We can't afford to fail because if we fail, the whole market economy fails. So Congress came up with $800 billion and loaned it to these banks. And ironically, they have all paid it all back. So it really didn't cost the people anything. But if you really get what was going on, it was a ruse. It was a front for what they really wanted to do. The people were irate, up in arms, incensed, mad, angry that Congress was going to bail these banks out with $800 billion. But little do we know, in the following months, the Federal Reserve, which has the ability to print up money, to print up cash at will, printed up and gave away $26 trillion. You heard me correct. $20 trillion. Gave it to banks all around the world. What did that tell you? The banks had so screwed up the global money supply that they needed this money just to continue. But more than that, they needed it to create a hyperinflation, to create the global currency collapse. See, to the folks in the Illuminati, it's kind of just a game. It's kind of just a game to them. If you have $1 billion, what money do you really need? How many cars do you need? How many multi-million dollar homes do you need? How many vacations do you need? How many pairs of shoes do you need? See, none of those things mean anything to those folks anymore because they can do whatever they want with money. So it's not the money that gives them a sense of satisfaction. It's power and control. And it's an addiction to their power and control. It's an addiction that no matter how much they have, it's never enough. I always have to have more than somebody else. And they hoard it to themselves and keep it to themselves. And they will do whatever it is to keep that control. If you think slavery isn't an issue, slavery has been around in one form or another in the human race and almost every country for the whole history of the human race, whether it was kings or dictators. When you had kings that held the power over the vassals and over the people, the common people. Whether it was dictators over countries, it's all about having a power and a control. Now, Yes, there have been some benevolent ones through history, God. I admit that. But the vast majority of them are not. And where does that really come from? It comes from what is called the dark consciousness of our egos. Is where that really comes from. And it's a form of an addiction. And that is where they have wanted to go. They want this global currency collapse. If you want to know more about it, watch my video that I sent out today. It's about 31 minutes long. Take a look at my newsletter, and I give you the references of where you can go get the book Financial Tyranny with David Wilcock. And then I give you references to two other people that are very, very credible people to be saying what they're saying. First one is Karen Hudes, H-U-D-E-S. I give you the link to Karen's website, but also Karen has been doing lots of interviews that are available on YouTube. The most recent one came a couple of weeks ago from a friend of mine, Jeffrey West, who does Cosmic Vision News. And he, on his radio program, interviews her for almost an hour. And in that hour, Karen basically says, we're heading for a global currency collapse. Now, Karen's background. For 20 years, she was the legal counsel to the World Bank. Over 180 nations are members of the World Bank. Her job was to tell the finance ministers and the heads of state of all these different countries when they were in violation of the rule of law. That was her job. And she was consistently communicating with that. She was telling them, hey, you guys aren't living under the rule of law. You're not following the law. And it got to the point to where she basically was exposing them so much they fired her after 20 years. Well, she turned into a whistleblower is what she did. She basically said they are so corrupt, totally backs up the domination of the Federal Reserve, their ability and their want to be in power and control, corruption that they have, they don't follow the rule of law, they print up money as they can at will, and this is a lady who is in the know. She has a bachelor's degree in economics, she's an attorney, for 20 years she was the legal counsel to the World Bank. She says the collapse is coming, folks. It's not a question if, it's only a matter of time. The second person that I gave, that to me was a very, very credible source, his name is Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. Now, I talked about him on last week's radio program. Dr. Roberts was the Assistant Secretary of the Treasury in the Reagan administration. Dr. Roberts was the founder of Reaganomics, and he was the head of all the economic policy during the Reagan administration. Now, when I say that, some of you are already jumping at Republican versus Democrat, and I would say let go of that because this guy was very credible. He was there wanting to do a job, doing the best that he could. And if you think he was just one-sided in his politics, when you go to Wikipedia and you put in his name and you see the article and you look at his resume, you'll see that he was the one that was calling for the impeachment of President George W. Bush because President Bush lied to us about why we went into Iraq. This guy's turned into a whistleblower. He's true blue. And he comes out and he says he understands economics. He knows economic policy. He was one of the biggest economic policy people in our country in the last 20 and 30 years. He says, we are heading for a global currency collapse. Now, you're listening to this program. You're listening to me because you have probably bought and purchased some dinar or dong, predominantly those two currencies, and you're looking to them to revalue. And the question we always ask is when. And if you've been following the blog sites like most of us, we've been seeing these delay. I am coming. Now, I'm not all the way here 100%, but I'm kind of at the point of what I talked about earlier in the program. A lot of that chatter, because underneath it all is the battle that goes on between the global currency collapse versus the global currency reset. Now, you'll find Karen Hudes doesn't back up the revaluation of the currencies. Well, that's a different story. But what she does say, and also what Dr. Roberts says, and what David Wilcox says, and there's another reference of a person that David Wilcox brings up, and his name is Ben Fulford. And I talk about him on my video. What Ben Fulford has to say is, what stops a global currency collapse is a global currency reset where the currencies are backed by assets. Now, the asset does not have to be gold. It's whatever is a valuable commodity asset that is in demand by, in Ecuador, it could be bananas. In Vietnam, it's rice. In China, it's rice. In the United States, it's oil and wheat. We are the largest wheat producers in the world. Wheat is the world's second largest food commodity. Rice is the number one largest food commodity. In Iraq, in the Middle East, it's oil. What is their commodity that gives them a value that they have a commodity that is in demand by the people? You back that, and there's calculations to then value your currency based on that. So that way, when it's asset-backed and not just gold-backed, you can't have a small group of countries who would dominate the world's gold supply, therefore dominating the world's money. They become the ultra-wealthy and everybody else becomes poor because assets differ all around the world. That is what stops the crash. Now, how do we know that's going to happen? Here's what, again, you don't see talked about in the mainstream media. David Wilcock brings this up. Karen Hughes talks about it. Dr. Roberts talks about it. There is now a coalition of over 160 countries that have come together. They have formed a solid bloc, and they have said to the G8 countries, you have so messed up, so screwed up, the global economic position. We know that you are all about ready to crash. We are calling check in this economic game of chess. We are now in a position we can call check on you. We want to go to an asset-backed currencies around the world. Now, ask me when that is going to happen. I don't know. It could happen next week, and I'm serious when I say that, based on the intel that I'm receiving. It could happen in a couple months. It may still take a couple more years. Here's what I think of why it's taking time. I'm coming back to my original question, who's footing the bill? And you know, and I've said this repeatedly, I believe in the existence of the Dragon family in China. I believe in the trillions of dollars, the hundreds and the thousands of trillions of dollars of gold that they have. They have been collecting this for not centuries, but millenniums. And that is the money that would be released. They want to take that money, that gold, and flood the earth, the planet, money. They want to have millions of us who hold dinar and dong in the revalue, and they will use that in paying for the revalue, because there will be millions of new millionaires created, and we are the ones that are coming out with a part of what is called a new consciousness of how we handle money. Instead of being addicted to power and to hoarding and to being a part of a secret society, thinking that we are more illuminated and more powerful and more smart and more wise than everybody else, we're the ones that see that we will spread the wealth. Not only will it come through us as the millions who receive this money, there are trillions, hundreds of trillions of dollars that will be pumped into what I would call grant projects to bring money all around the world. When you spread that much money, that much wealth, it totally neuters the cabal. It renders them powerless. Their money can't be used to have domination over the tens of millions and others and the trillions of dollars that's going to be released. That is why a global currency reset backed by the money and the trillions of gold of the Dragon family stops the cabal. But here's what has to happen first. There are a cabal that has trillions of dinar. But they are in the process, and I'm using the term neutering them. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be arrested, put in jail. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be removed from their jobs and their positions. But their power and their influence has to be neutered. And I am convinced the Dragon family will not release that money until they feel that is sufficiently taken care of. They are not going to allow them to become super wealthy through this so they can continue their domination and their control. You see, after the money is released, we still have a banking system. We still have an economic system. We still have currencies around the world. We still have economic growth. We still have a stock market. We still have central banks. And we still have some people that are running, you know, the banking and function and money systems in all the countries around the world. Those things will continue to go on. But their power over those systems needs to be neutered. And that is in the process of what's going on. And in my opinion, this is my opinion, that is why we've seen these delay after delay after delay after delay. Now, there's some people out there, I have basically said they've been the gossip mongers. They've been giving out the chatter. Hey, don't be so hard on them. Don't be so hard on them because they've served us well. They are the ones that have kept spreading it. That, see, when I said there's a sting operation going on, there's actually two sides to that coin. As they kept talking and talking about the rates being getting so high and being so wonderful, guess what? More and more people started buying dinar. The Dragon family literally wants probably another million people to buy dinar and dong so that they can give them their gold to spread the wealth. They want equality of wealth spread around the planet. They want more people invested in the dinar and dong. That's my opinion. That's how I see it. So that's part of the reasons for the delays, so more and more people would come in. And on the flip side of the coin, it's also been set up as a sting operation to capture the cabal with goods where they have violated the law. Now, are they being arrested? Some are. I don't think it's the high numbers that we've been told. That may happen. But what they do have is they now have sufficient evidence to serve them and a warrant for arrest at the right time. And I don't know when that time is, but I liken it to this. If you've got a drug dealer out there and you want to get the kingpin, you want to get the boss, the drug dealer, what you need to do is you need to work enough at the lower levels to use those lower level folks as informants to work your way up. And as you're working your way up, you've got the stuff on the lower folks, but you need to let them continue to do their work of selling drugs so you can get the kingpin and stop the whole thing. And that's what's taking the time. I don't have any idea how long that's going to be. But you know what? With the report that came out yesterday from Zap, it may be within the next week. It may be within the next week that we finally are going to go and be showing up at the banks. And today, bless his heart, saying he's ready to land. He says it's over. It's done. TNT Tony today was basically saying the same thing. 2 days at the most, we're going to be in the banks. He was talking more about 800 numbers. Please don't ask me the reliability of what he said about 800 numbers. I don't know. I just figured we'll know it when we're going to know it, when it's going to happen. So, folks, I'm beginning to wrap up this part of it. Now, I'm ready for those of you who want to call in, who want to discuss this issue, who want to tell me your stories, because this is what I do. For folks, for those of you that listen to the program, you know what I do. Somewhere from the first half hour to 1 hour, normally what I do is I talk, and then I open it up, and then the second hour of the program is we have discussions. And I love what you have to say. So, folks, if you want to call in, the number is 646-716-8069. You call that number, and when you get the number, then you press the number 1. That brings you up on our switchboard. Penny, my wonderful, wonderful assistant, she will talk with you, and then she'll give a little bit of information from you. She'll get your name, what state that you're from, kind of a one or two words. She'll let me know what it is you want to talk about or what you want to say. And right now, folks, there's a whole lot of people on the phone, but nobody is saying they want to talk yet. Now's your chance. You won't have a very long wait if you do it now. Okay? Do it now. and you won't have to wait very long to be able to come online, folks. So also for the folks over on the chat window, and remember, you do have to sign and give your name if you want to put anything in there. If there's any comments there that you would like to say, well, go ahead and bring those forward as well. Do you get the bigger picture? Do you understand the bigger picture? The global currency collapse, which is the desire of the cabal, those that run the Federal Reserve, those that run the money systems around the world, that versus the global currency reset. And it's like the little guys. The 160-nation coalition have banded up and joined together to come against the big guys. And what they're doing, they're basically calling and saying, it's game. We don't want to live under your domination and your control anymore. We want to change the paradigm of this world. We want to change the consciousness of this world. We want equality. We want fairness. We want everybody to have a better chance in operation, and we don't want to be in this position anymore of this domination. So, folks, hey, if you're there, if you would like to send a question my way, if you would like to make some comments, just press 1 on your touch-tone phone is all that you have to do, and or you call in as well, call in, and let me know, because this doesn't happen very often, folks. I've been on the air for almost an hour, and nobody has said they want to talk. Are you just liking me talking? Sometimes I need a little bit of a break, and I'd like to listen to you for a little bit. So go ahead, folks. Okay, we're starting to get one here. It looks like they're starting to come in. You know what I'm going to do, Penny? I'm just going to go straight to that person. Hold on here just a minute. You know, the for some reason, it's looking a little bit weird here, and the area code seems to be cutting off. But, hey, I'm going directly to the first caller. I can't see the 3 digits of your area code, but I'm bringing you directly on the line. Hi, you're here with Dave. How are you doing tonight? What's your name and where are you from? Hello. Can you hear me? Are you there? I brought you on the line. You pressed 1 on your phone. your last roll there, you left. You went off the air, and then it switched it over. Okay, all right. That's funny sometimes how the computers work. I guess they decided they didn't want to talk with me on the air. So, where do we go next? I'm not saying I've run out of things to say, but I've kind of let me do this. I've got some notes I've taken from what I was doing when I was reading the situation with David Wilcox. Okay, now there's folks coming on. Excuse me, just a quick second. I'm going to take a drink of my iced tea because my throat's getting a little dry. Okay. I've now got 1, 2, 3 people that are ready to talk. Okay. All right. So here's what we'll do. Penny is already talking with one person. Penny, as soon as you're done with them, I will go right over to them. You know what's really interesting is this whole issue of the $26 trillion. You think we would be absolutely incensed over that kind of money that would be there. So, okay. I'm going to a caller. That's L.A., area code 818. Hello, you're on the air here with Dave. What's your name? Is it Jim? Is that right?
That's correct.
Hi, Jim. How are you? And you're from L.A. Is it Louisiana or Los Angeles? Huh?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. If you put L.A., well, that could also mean Louisiana. So.
Okay.
How are you doing tonight, Jim?
I'm doing all right. I just have a question. Your explanation, first I want to thank you for being a sane voice in this whole big mess, but why would the Trigon family do this? It just doesn't seem to make any sense that they would put themselves in that position. Plus, how did they get away with it? China's not the most progressive country in the world. How did they let these people gain this wealth and power?
Well, let me say this. the government of China answers to them. These are a people. This is the Dragon family was the very first family of the Chinese dynasties that go back millenniums. Now, I'm going to tell you what is my personal opinion on this. They are a family, a group of people of a much higher consciousness. They practice higher consciousness issues. The grandfather of the family is supposedly 300 to 400 years old. I have met with a person who has met with him. And he just said, this guy is really, really, really old. They have mastered, we understand how Asian cultures, especially in Buddhist principles, and know how to master the mind in the thinking. We know that the human body is designed to last forever. The reason it doesn't last forever is because it breaks down because of the mental stress. Personally, I think this is a family that has been designated as incarnated angels to be the guardians of all this gold for this time. We as a human race are beginning to change in our consciousness. We have lived in what I would call what would be a darker, a denser consciousness of fear. But we are now beginning to wake up because, see, the controllers, the cabal, they basically kept us in ignorance and fear. I talk about that in the video I put out today. Their power was always in secrecy and fear. But we collectively, as the human race, are beginning to wake up. I mentioned today in the video is that you can go on Facebook and you will see that there are scores of countries around the world where the people are rising up in protest. They're protesting against their governments because of their economic supply and the money supply and the conditions that are there. And they're waking up. So there's a waking process that is beginning to take place with the masses, with the billions. And the principle is the same principle of what applied to the country of India, where Great Britain had gone in, had domination and control over India. And there was a leader, Mahatma Gandhi, that basically led the 300 million people of that country out of the dominion of the British Empire. Because as the masses, the 100,000 people of the British that were in the country of India couldn't control 300 million people that began to wake up, come out of their fear, and stand up against them. And that's what's happening with us. The Dragon family, they don't live in the old paradigm of fear and power. They live in a consciousness of wealth, equality, giving, caring, and understanding that we as a human race are evolving. And they have been waiting for this time. They've been waiting for us to wake up as a collective so we would be ready to handle the new wealth to change the course of the human race. They don't care about power. They don't care about money. They're not involved in greed, but they're very wise in what they're doing. And the Chinese, they let the Chinese government do what the Chinese government is going to do because they're not involved in the politics of communism over democracy because they see the fallacies in both. They see that both, in some ways, are controlled, you know, by the cabal. And they rise above that is what they do. And they're ready to release the gold because they feel it's time. That's how I understand it. I have personally have talked with three different people that either have met with them directly or they're a second in line of directly. I have personally met and talked with a person who has met with them. They gave him a bunch of bonds to cash, and this guy handed me a $30 million Federal Reserve bond that I held in my hand. And that's what convinced me this was real. And that was about 2 years ago when I held that bond in my hand. That's when I knew this is real. This isn't just a game. This isn't just a charade. This isn't just a bunch of woo-woo thinking. This is very real. So does that answer your question?
Yes, as far as you can go with it, with the data that you and everybody else has, and I appreciate that. I really hope you're right, and I really hope that's the way it's going to go. It's just a bit hard to believe.
It's a bit hard to believe because we've so conditioned ourselves to being in bondage and slavery. It was a bit hard to believe for the African Americans in the United States to believe that they had been set free from slavery, but yet it took them 100 years to have the civil rights. It took them 100 years to learn how to think differently. See, and for us it's the same way. Are we going to take 100 years to learn how to think differently when we've already been set free? When the Egyptian people were under 400 years of slavery under the biblical account, when Moses came and set them free, they couldn't take the mindset of a generation of slaves into the promised land. It took 40 years for that generation to pass away before a new generation could rise up with a new consciousness, a new set of beliefs. And they weren't bound to the old slavery consciousness before they could go in and conquer a promised land. And it's the same thing with us. If we bind ourselves to an old paradigm of lack and poverty and slavery mentality, then we're not ready to enter into the promised land. Now, is it going to take us 40 years? No, I don't think so. Is it going to take us 100 years? No, I don't think so. But I do think that's part of the reason why it's taken as long as it has, is because they're asking us, start thinking differently. Your beliefs of what you hold within you determine the lifestyle that you're going to have. If you think it's not possible, it's beyond comprehension, then, Jim, let me be really honest with you. I see you as the part of the people coming out of Egypt that aren't ready to move into the promised land. Now, I'm being facetious when I say that, but I think you grasp what I'm saying. It requires a change of thinking and consciousness for us. I could go on and on about that, and I'm not here to do that tonight. But there are so many new books with scientific evidence that's saying the power of human thought determines your experience. And when it comes together collectively, it creates a collective energy of human thought that changes paradigms. That's when history changes. And we are right in the middle of this huge, gigantic shift and change in the human history. When this RV takes place, it will be one of the greatest shifts in the human history in thousands of years. If we keep believing that it's beyond us, then we just keep delaying it. But here's what I believe very firmly. It's going to happen. If it doesn't happen next week, it'll be the year after, or the year after, and the year after. Why? Because the massive shift of the people waking up is taking place all around the world. We don't see it in the mainstream media. They won't talk about that because they don't want that to happen. They're controlled by the cabal. But it's when we collectively wake up and begin to realize, I can have this. It's very similar to where the Civil War stopped slavery and they had the Emancipation Proclamation, but it took them 100 years to have the Civil Rights Movement before they really woke up to what they could have. It's not going to take us that long. And this is a worldwide event. This is not just an American event. Okay.
Okay.
You got me on a little bit of a horse there, Jim, or a soapbox.
Okay.
But I hope that helps. But, you know,
okay.
I just challenge you. Start thinking differently. Start thinking differently. Let go of the old paradigm of thoughts. Have hope. Change your faith. Change your beliefs. Let yourself work through that process. It happens differently for everybody. It doesn't happen for everybody at the same time. But it's when we do it collectively. And we the masses, that's what's happening. The biggest thing that changed this more than anything else was the advent of the Internet. Because it allowed us to bypass mainstream media sources of education and information and news. And we are now learning from each other. You see, that's why the cabal is falling, because they can't keep us in secrecy and fear anymore, because we can talk to each other through the Internet, and we bypass them, and we learn from each other. And that's why this is happening. It's not going to stop. I don't see them stopping the Internet. It just won't happen. And as long as we have the capability to talk to each other around the world gets very small, because all of a sudden now somebody halfway around the world is my neighbor, because they can come on here and they can talk with me. See, I couldn't do a program like this 5 years ago, but I can now, and I'm not the only one. There are thousands of programs like this where people are talking to each other and the word is spreading. So, okay, anything else?
That's all. Thanks again.
Okay, thanks for calling, Jim. Okay, have a good evening.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Okay. Folks, it's really important that we grasp that. It's when we collectively come together. Now, and it takes time for that transition and change to take place, but that's what's happening. That is what is happening here. We, as a collective human race, are beginning to wake up. Okay, going on to the next caller. From area code 917, his name is Sean, and, oh, I thought I clicked on the other. Now you're coming on. Sean from New York, how are you doing tonight, Sean?
Hey. All right, how's it going, Ben? Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, my question is, there's a lot of people selling the dinar on eBay right now. I was wondering, is that a reputable place to purchase the dinar?
Well, what you buy on eBay is only good as the person who is selling it. And you might want to make sure that, is this valid? The vast majority of them are. The vast majority of them are honest, and they're selling the real dinar currency. Now, what you could do, you could find some of the online brokers, and you take a look at the pictures of the dinar, and you make sure that that is the same exact stuff that's being sold on eBay. And then what I would do is look at the credibility of the seller. You look at their stars. You look at their percentage of how good they are, and make sure that they're someone who's credible. If you want to, call them up, send them an email to say, hey, how do I know this is the real stuff? Because you might get a much better value, a better price on eBay than you would be from the brokers. But it's one of those buyer beware things.
Okay. I mean, I just purchased 100K of dinar for like $104 U.S. dollars just recently. So I know that they have different prices that I saw. I was just wondering if I got the best price. And also, what were some of the names of the online brokers that sell the dinar?
Well, here's what I do. I don't mention that on the air because I don't want to show favoritism over any of the one brokers or any of the others. And I just do that out of respect. Do I have one specific broker that I use? Yes, I do. If you send me an email, the Sedona Connection at MSN.com, I will send you the name of that broker. And folks, I'm going to let you know, and while I'm on that topic, I don't receive any kickbacks. I have referred hundreds of people to this broker that's in New York. It's just his business is good. His service is good. It's a small mom-and-pop business. I like supporting small mom-and-pop businesses. And they were referred to me. The business was good, so that's why that's the one that I refer to. But if you want another one you want to use whoever you're comfortable with. But I just want to be fair. I don't receive any kickbacks. I have never talked with them on the phone. I have never had an email communication with them other than when I made my own order. Other than that, I've had no contact. You know, the price that you paid, you probably got about, somewhere between 6% to 8% discount over what you'd pay for it on a broker by what you paid on eBay for that dinar.
Okay. All right.
But send me an email, Sean, and then I'll give you the name and of the broker that I use.
Great. I'll do that.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Okay, thanks a lot. Have a good evening. Okay, we're going on to the next caller, and this is someone who's right in my backyard of Sedona. Taylor, how are you tonight?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing wonderful. It's nice to know that you're probably just, a couple miles away from me right now. So
I know.
I get people from all around the world and next door.
Well, I agree with you. Sedona is magical.
Beautiful place.
I love your show, and I want to thank you for doing it. and waking up. What a great expression, waking up. And you can feel it. You can see it. You can. It is happening.
Yeah.
And I've been living in Sedona for a long time, so I've been hopefully waking up. I still have more to go. You know what? I forgot what my original question was. What I'm thinking of, Dave, is as Moses and as the civil rights people, we should be helping each other after the RV.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Somehow,
absolutely.
You know, getting to, yeah, so that we do have an easier way to spread our wings. And anyway, that's just a thought I had while I was waiting to talk to you. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I've already formed a group. It's now up to around 60 people here in Sedona. Well, it's because this is what I'm doing. And, folks, for those of you that listen, that's why I would love to have you, you know, on the email list. Just, you know, give me your city and your zip codes, and I can put you in, and I can sort that by zip code so I can say, hey, this is a geographical group that is here, and I can help form meetings in those areas for people to have to come together and have support groups about what they will do, not only before but also after, because we learn from each other. It's being able to come together in support groups where we learn from each other. And I'm only one person. I can't do it all myself. I'm doing what I can, and I love what I'm doing, and there will be others that will be doing this as well. But it is nice to be able to get into a support group, you know, to do this.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that I recommend is that if you
uh-huh.
come in $1 million, is first thing is always pay off your bills, take care of yourself. The second thing is go take a small vacation. Third thing is give your money to your family or your friends that you feel that they need some support. And then the next thing is support the immediate needs in your local community, in your backyard, i.e. your food bank and your shelters, that give
you
basic dignity of life issues. And then
after that,
this is what I am going to do. I'm going to let my money sit, and then I'm going to
mm-hmm.
start my education process. And I'm going to educate myself of how to be a millionaire. How do I take and make this money grow? How can I give this money out to other areas responsibly? And I want to make sure I'm giving responsibly, and I'm not duplicating what somebody else is doing, and I'm not recreating a wheel because it makes me feel good. Because you can give money out that makes you feel good, but it's not responsible because it's not being used wisely by the recipient. And so
right.
take the time to educate yourself, and you realize this is a long-term situation. It's not an overnight
yes.
scenario. You need to set
it's
up.
It's going to be my new job.
Trust accounts. Take care of yourself financially.
Oh, sure.
For the rest of your life. All that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
That's an education process is what it is.
Yeah. As I just said, this is going to be my new job. And that
absolutely.
Is. Absolutely. Yeah. And
Taylor, if you had $1 million tomorrow, you could probably quit the job you have, and this would be your new job, just to educate yourself about how to be a millionaire.
Oh, yeah, and also how
right?
to take care of it and for generations
yeah.
and to teach my family
yeah.
care
yeah.
of it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
I remembered my question, Dave. Is the prosperity packages part of the global reset?
I think they are. I cannot say that. I think it's all in conjunction. They just may not all come out at the same time.
Yeah.
The information that I have is that some of the prosperity packages, some of that money has already been released. We just don't
okay.
know exactly when that is going to happen.
Uh-huh.
There's different definitions of prosperity packages. There's different groups that have different prosperity
There's
packages.
There's so many.
So you can't lump them all into one, but I think they're all going to happen. They may not. I don't think they're going to happen all at the same time, but you can see them happen fairly closely over the process of time. But I don't have the exact details.
Okay.
If you read what happened, what came out in the post yesterday with Zap, this
yes.
is going to be ongoing for some time, and it says everything is going to trickle down to everybody eventually. Everybody's going to
Yes,
follow.
I like that a lot. See, yeah, I like the idea of you're the horse.
Yes. It's not just a few of us getting rich. It goes far beyond.
Yes, I love that. Okay, well, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Taylor. Okay.
Okay, good night.
Okay, good night. Okay, all righty. Yeah, folks, a lot of people, you wonder about the prosperity packages. Hey, I would say, you know, if you haven't seen, if you haven't read the post by Poof and Zap, Poofness post, go read it. It was really good. I was so encouraged by that. They've been in touch with the Dragon family for a long time. So they have some really good inside information, and they've been working on this for more than 20 years. So they have a really good idea of what's going on. So I would say, you know, go listen to them. And go read that post. Take it in and realize what's there. Begin to see that and visualize what's happening for that to take place for all of us. Okay? Okay, next caller I am going on to is area code 352. It's Randy, and it looks like you're from Florida. Is that right? Randy, you're on the air here with Dave. How are you?
Very good. Good evening to you, Mr. Wonderful. That's my nickname for you now.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's okay. I so appreciate. Oh, good. I so appreciate you and all your efforts and the education process that you bring forward. I spoke with you last week on the call, so I'm going to make my points very short because
you know
I want to make room for callers.
You can take as long as you want right now because I don't have anybody else lined up to call. It's funny tonight. I don't know why. Last week I couldn't get to everybody, and tonight hardly anybody's calling it. So. I don't have anybody lined up behind you yet, Randy. So what I'm saying is, hey, folks, if you're out there, you want to talk, press 1 on your phone. Okay, Randy, go ahead.
All right, great. Well, I just wanted to back up what you're saying regarding the Dragon family, that for years, you know, there are two factions that basically exist in China. There is a communist side, and then there is the ancient families, as you have spoken about. And it really was for them stepping forward and pretty much backing up our entire economy because they did not want this collapse by the cabal. And when you understand on a global nature, as you have elegantly and perfectly described what was going to happen, a full-blown collapse would have happened moving into a one-world money system. The Chinese, the good faction, the Dragons, would never kowtow or take any direction from these banking cartel families. They have a honorable and integral pride in history. I agree with many things that you said about the elders and wanted to support you in some of your comments. So I just wanted to also let you know there are other people out here who are exposed to that entire side and track the prosperity and the goodness and the consciousness and awareness that China is bringing forward. So, and people like Zap are connected up through them and do provide some valid information in the post that they put out on a weekly basis. So I wanted to say thank you for that. Mm-hmm. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is last week you were talking a little bit about the reset and a possible devaluation or no devaluation. And what I wanted to ask you specifically for you to expand on is Goldman recently put out a 10% market reset article, which came out on the 13th. I sent it to you via email for your review. And
right.
I'm wondering, is the stock market going to devalue, not collapse, not crash, but devalue in a fiat monetary system moving into an asset-backed, or do you believe our reset is going to be affected after, you know, post-GCR, where we're in an asset-backed with a one-to-one even exchange? Something has to reset in a devalued, hyperinflated fiat market that we're in now. So that's my question. I hope I
sure.
I asked, you know, clearly. Thank you.
Yeah. Let me do this. I want to comment on that. And then before I let you go, though, I want to go back and ask you some questions about the Dragon thing. But let's take the market first. Okay, folks, for a lot of you folks know, I've been a market trader off and on for 17 years, so I understand the stock markets. That's what I get it. You know, I know what goes on there. There is the normal, when you say that Goldman's put out a 10% market devaluation, that is not abnormal. Markets go through their ebbs and flows. And when we've had, the market has been going up and up and up for the last 2 and 3 years. And so they will always come out and say that the market is due for a correction. And any a pullback of 10% is accepted and considered as a normal ebb and flow of the market. So right now I think the Dow was at about 16,600 today. So if it pulled back 1,600 all the way back to 15,000, that would be a very normal accepted correction within the market, because what it does, the market sprints and gets out ahead of itself from what is its nominal value, and then it has to pull back to come into balance. And that's always just the normal ebbs and flows of markets. So when Goldman put that out today, that was nothing that was not an abnormal statement. That is very much in line with the normal ebbs and flows of markets. Now, what would happen to the market in a global currency reset? Different opinions all over. But here's my opinion. Because this has been kept in secrecy, this is going to create a shock. Because when this first comes out, there's going to be millions and millions of people that are going to, that have money in the market, and they're going to be saying, what just happened? They don't know about it. They don't understand it. And out of and what when there's a fear factor like that, people will pull their money out to keep it safe because they don't know how far it's going to drop. Could be an initial shock. And then when they start selling and pulling money out, it creates a cascading effect because the markets more and more are computer generated, which means people already have preset amounts of what they will allow the market to drop to, and then their stocks will automatically sell. It's an automatic sell point when it drops to a certain point because they want to take some profits off the table and they want to lock some of that in. Well, that creates a cascading effect. It drops at the point, that creates more, and it keeps going down until it hits its bottom point. And that cascading effect could possibly create a 20 to 30% drop in the market over a month or two. But here's what I think is going to happen. After the initial shock, after all of the dust has settled, and after people realize what's really going on, I think the stock market is going to come screaming back. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's fiat currencies or asset-backed currencies, because the everyday people like you and me who have money in the market, all of our money is just going to roll over to be a part of asset-backed currencies. There isn't going to be a differentiation. Is your money fiat? Is your money? All fiat money is going to roll over and just be assumed to become asset-backed, because if it doesn't, you've got 99% of the people in this country who are pissed off royally because they just lost all their money. And all of a sudden, we who had the dinar became the new wealthy 1%. See, that's not going to happen. There's going to be a normal transition. The current fiat money doesn't just go away. It just becomes new asset-backed money. And right now, if it's in the stock market or if it's in your bank, it's not cash. It's just digital. It's in digital format. It's in numbers and digit forms in an account. So that's why after all the dust settles, there's going to be so much money that is going to be put to work that there's going to be more work than there probably is going to be people to do the jobs. There's going to be companies that are going to be saying, I need employees. And there's going to be companies that are going to be hired left and right for a reconstruction of the earth. A redevelopment of the earth, a redevelopment of the infrastructure all around the world is going to be able to take place. There are going to be countries that are just going to explode economically. Iraq is one of those countries. You ask me where I was going to place my money, I'm going to place some of my money into ETF funds that are in Iraq construction. because Iraq construction companies, companies involved in reconstruction in Iraq, are going to be very profitable. This is going to happen all around the world, and that's why I think that the market is going to come screaming and go blowing past where it is now, and I think we could see a Dow at 25,000 to 30,000 in 3 to 5 years.
Okay.
That's my opinion. Now,
right.
let me touch on the devaluation of the dollar. That's not as big of an issue as what people make it out to be. When the dollar devalues, a dollar is still a dollar inside the United States. What it devalues is it devalues in contrast to the other currencies around the world, which means things that we import become more expensive. That's all. It's
okay.
The only thing that changes. It just means our imports become more expensive. And I think that's a fair statement because, see, the United States have been the dominant big boys, and what's going to, with this global currency reset and all this money being pumped in, is it's going to bring people up on par. So those that have been so suppressed for a long time are going to see their currencies come up on a greater par. But it's going to be backed by the assets. The United States is still a very, very asset-rich country. What really determines the value of your assets is the productivity of your workforce. We have a very productive workforce. We are one of the richest oil countries in the world. We do have lots of oil in conjunction with the Middle East. We are the largest wheat suppliers in the world, and the list goes on. We dominate the high-tech industry around the world. So our assets are actually very, very strong. So any really drop in the dollar may only be temporary. And once it goes to asset back, it's basically from that point on, it's dependent upon the country's ability to have productive workers in conjunction with their raw assets. That's what's going to determine the value of the currency. But
Dave,
Dave,
do you believe that we have or that we're living in a hyperinflated economy now due to a fiat monetized system or not?
Absolutely. We're in a stock market bubble right now. Unemployment is extremely high. Productivity is extremely high. The GDP is not increasing. The average wages of the workers in America are dropping. If you listen to the interview with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts that I mentioned last week that I gave the link to in today's email newsletter,
yes,
if you listen to him, he explains all of that. Economically, we're in the dumps. Yet the stock market is at an all-time high. Those don't figure. They don't coincide. That has never happened ever before. Why is it that way? It's because all this money, this $26 trillion that was printed up and given to the banks didn't send it out to the people. The banks have put it into the stock market. They're becoming investors themselves, and they're playing the market themselves. Is what they're doing. And that's what's propping this market up. So it's a hyperinflated market, and it's a bubble market. It's not based on a true economic picture. But everything's out of whack right now economically. Stuff doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
The old rules don't
right.
apply anymore. This isn't your father's stock market. This isn't your father's economy. You know, the old rules don't apply anymore. Everything is out of whack, and it just doesn't make sense.
Right.
I
believe that with the Volcker Rule, or Volcker Rule, I should say, that is going to eliminate our banks from investing their own money. Is that correct?
They'll find a way to get around it.
Okay.
They always do. I think it's not an issue. Do they find a way to get around? It's not such a bad thing. If they've got all this money, and if it's generating money in the market, it's basically one of those things that all the boats are rising, and they're a player in it, and they haven't been a player in the past. Now, And I know that's a precarious statement that I just said. And some people won't like what I just said there. I just think it's one of those things that just is, and it's going to happen. And 60% of the people in America have money in the stock market in their retirement accounts, their 401k accounts. And if banks are playing and raising the market, then those people are benefiting from it because their retirement accounts wouldn't be as high. That is a positive way that the banks have taken this fiat currency money and put it to work. It has upped the retirement accounts for a lot of people. Pros and cons on it. It's not all bad. They're not, you know, there's good things that some banks do. So.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to go back to, are we done with that?
Yes. Thank you very much for your direct answer.
You gave a lot of great information about the Dragon family. And, you know, and it's hard to find stuff out there about them. What has been your sources? Where do you find this information? What research have you done? Or what networks or contacts can you tell me about? That I, if you need to keep part of it quiet, I understand that. But it's just for the benefit of everybody so they can do their own research and learn about it.
Right. I don't think you're going to find a lot of information regarding the families online, possibly on some off-the-cuff blog spots, websites, things of that nature. But I think most people who have, you know, any inside information or have an idea of what's going on really are connected through a network of people that, you know, work with them for the betterment of humanity. And, you know, I think that there are people out there. Jim Willey, who is a metals economist and who I follow, speaks about them all the time as well and provides information as to what they're doing. But he doesn't really speak about the ancient families specifically. He talks more about, you know, the gold purchases and how China is basically building up their central bank reserves. So, I would probably say.
In my understanding, though, that Jim Willey operates in what is called the traditional paradigm. And when it says that the central banks in China are building up their gold reserves, they're working within the amount of money that is on the open market. They're using open market gold when there is probably somewhere between 8, 15, 20, even 30 times the amount of gold is available on the planet that is not on the open market. Those numbers really vary. It depends on who you listen to. But there's just tons and tons of gold here on the planet that is not in the open market because the Federal Reserve has limited the amount of gold on the open market. And this is just my opinion. But my opinion, Jim Willey operates within the context and the paradigm of the existing open market. The amount of gold that the Dragon family has, and my sources come back to Ben Fulford, who has direct contact with them. David Wilcock has been able to get direct contact with them. Neil Keenan is the guy who brought the $1 trillion lawsuit on behalf of the Dragon family because it was when the Federal Reserve stole their gold from the 1930s transactions, so that the Dragon family is bringing a lawsuit against them. The lawsuit has been put on hold, but it is a matter of public record. And then there are some others, you know, that talk about it. But your best sources is Neil Keenan and David Wilcock and Ben Fulford. There are some people now who are involved in the RV out of Reno that have contact with them as well. But I'm not at liberty to mention their names. Let's just say it's the Reno group with some of the Reno news, some of the stuff that comes out of Reno. They are in contact with us. So,
wonderful.
I don't feel at liberty
and I agree
to
with
mention
on that. I agree with you 100% regarding the gold, that there is more than we could ever imagine possible.
People talk about investing in gold. Should they invest in gold? And I would say in a normal paradigm of a normal world, I would say yes. But this is an abnormal situation. They say, is gold going to go up in price? I think just the opposite. Now, this is just my opinion. If you flood the world with 100 to 1,000 times more gold than what's on the market now, and you bring that into the market, it devalues the existing gold. See, the existing price of gold is hyperinflated because of a scarcity and because of a fear of fiat currencies collapsing. You take those two elements away, then gold should go back to its fair nominal rate. But you go back into, I think it was, you know, 1971, when we were taken off the gold standard, gold was only around $30 to $35 an ounce. Take that with inflation, a fair nominal rate of gold would be $200 to $300 an ounce. And I think that's what it's going to go back to. I think that's what's going to happen. I think gold's going to totally devalue because of those two reasons. You've gone to a gold-backed standard, so you don't have the incentive for gold to be higher as a hedge against inflation and fiat currency. And secondly, you've totally, massively increased the amount of gold, so that means the existing gold is going to lose its value. That's just common economics.
Okay, and that's a very valid point, Dave, but just playing devil's advocate here. So you have the metals economists who operate in that particular paradigm, and I agree with you, but they offer a piece of the puzzle to this entire global currency reset, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So I look at all these pieces, and I try to put them together like you do. And so I'm looking at the people like the Jim Sinclairs and the Jim Willies and, Kirby Analytics and the gentleman that you quoted earlier from the Greg Hunter interview. And they are basically predicting that gold is going to go up to 3, 5, potentially 10,000 an ounce, because basically they're touting that it's going to be backing the system, the new asset-backed system. But you think it might actually devalue because there'll be an abundance of...
I'm sorry to interrupt you. They're operating within the existing context of the existing paradigm of a limited amount of gold. Under those standards, I would agree with them. I would agree with them under those standards. See, they don't take into consideration... I mean, if you read what Zap said yesterday, $1,500 trillion of gold is coming forth. That's $1.5 quadrillion in gold is going to be released. Those guys, it boggles their minds, stuck in that box in the paradigm that they're in. They can't conceive that. Because they don't live in, their box doesn't allow that. People operate in paradigms. They operate in boxes. Definitions fits within their box. And when something from outside of their box tries to enter in, cognitive dissonance doesn't allow them to comprehend that, so they dismiss it. Now, does that mean that they're bad? No, not at all.
No, not at all.
But it's just it's two entirely different paradigms of how they're viewing it. Now, but the guys that you quoted, within the paradigm, within their existing, I would agree with them. I would totally agree. But they're not thinking of what $1.5 quadrillion of gold coming into the market is going to do. They don't see that amount coming. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they don't. That's what they say. And it makes perfect sense when you limit yourself to that box, to that paradigm. But in my opinion, it's just opinion. And there's 100 of them out there. You know, so I just give a different opinion.
I think what's wonderful about you is that because you have had the opportunity to work within the boundaries of Congress, you can bring a different perspective to things. You understand how things work versus people on the outside who really don't have the knowledge of the inner workings, how things are really done on the inside. So, listening to you these past couple of months has been, you know, so enlightening for me, because I've been trying to piece all this together myself and follow it. And just what you said, they are operating in scarcity, that there is not going to be enough gold, that the COMEX market is going to default because they're writing futures contracts on gold that they don't have.
Right.
So when people come collecting the gold's not going to be there. And
right.
So that's why I'm asking you these pointed questions, since we have the time.
And Randy, and I appreciate that. And then that's why, you know, I'm learning through some of this myself. I'm in a learning curve just as everybody else is. And I've kind of come to this point, when I look at all of this chatter that is going on all the different blog sites about the RV, I always come back to the bottom baseline question, who's going to foot the bill? Once, depending upon the paradigm or the box that you've placed yourself in, on who is going to foot the bill, that determines what you see is going to come out of this. Karen Hudes doesn't think that the RV is going to happen because Karen Hudes is in a box that the Dragon family doesn't exist. Paul Craig Roberts is in a box that the Dragon family doesn't exist. So their answers make sense when you recognize the box they're in. And that's what you always have to come back to. You have to come back to when everything is said and done, when all the dust is settled, when all the chatter is out of the way, it always comes back to who's going to foot the bill. Who's going to pay for this? And so when I'm reading today that TNT Tony says the rates are back up to $32 again, and it's with the China oil credits, well, I'm sorry, there isn't enough money in the China oil credits for $32 unless the Dragon family is funding it. That money doesn't exist in this world unless the Dragon family is funding it. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, there are three different paradigms of how much money is available. The first paradigm is the existing world money supply that is available right now. And it doesn't mean, you know, the bank's printing up another $26 trillion. In the existing paradigm, you can only afford a dinar revalue at around that $1.16 mark and less. That's all that there is, because there are trillions and trillions of dinars out there, and there isn't that much money to pay for that in the existing world's money supply. The second paradigm is the oil credits issue and the trillions of dollars of bonds that China holds. That can support a $3.50 to $4 dinar rate and a 47 cent rate on the dong. That can support that. Because the money isn't all going to come out as cash. Some of it is going to be oil credits. It's going to be held as credits against it, and only part of it comes out as cash, so they don't need all that much cash. The third scenario is the Dragon family, and it all depends on how much they're going to release. And you can have anywhere from $1.16 all the way up to $42, and they can fund it all. Are they going to? That's the question. And I don't have an answer on that. Personally, I don't think they're going to pay $42 to dinar holders. I don't think they're going to create people becoming billionaires. They are willing to create people becoming millionaires, but not billionaires. Because when you take that kind of money, people don't use it wisely. They would rather put that money into humanitarian aid projects. Yes, millionaires. Billionaires, no, I don't think they're going to support that. That's why I see a realistic rate in that $3.5 to $4 range is what I see. After I filtered through all this stuff, different people have different opinions, but That's kind of where it's been. So Tony can say what Tony wants to say. That's his opinion.
I agree. And I understand what you're saying. Do you believe these private groups with humanitarian efforts behind them are a potential candidate for a higher rate due to the humanitarian focus? Or
possibly. That is possible. That could be part of where Tony's thinking of the higher rates. Because he's getting that number somewhere. It's being filtered and leaked to him somewhere. It just doesn't make sense on how he says it. So it's not all bad. I don't think he's deliberately lying. I just don't think he has the full picture. But that's my opinion. And I'm not here to castigate him. He's done a good job in a lot of stuff. So it's
right.
hard to figure out
right.
where he's coming from sometimes.
Okay.
Okay? Well,
may I ask one more question? Shift gears a little bit. Would that be all right?
No, because I'm running down. I got 8 minutes left. I got one more caller.
Okay. So. All right. Nasara, I don't know if you wish to comment on the topic or not. Is that factual or was it manipulated? There were some aspects of Nasara that might be factual. Any thoughts that you can share?
I think there are aspects of Nasara that can be implemented or factual. I think there are large parts of it that are very unpractical. Nasara calls for the complete resignation of Congress and the President and the Vice President and the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm sorry, I don't see them all just resigning. And then it says that there's going to be a new temporary Congress and a new President. Well, who's the dictator that's going to tell all of those people they have to resign from office and appoint these new temporary people? It doesn't happen. It doesn't operate within the context of our Constitution for that to happen. That's the part of Nasara that I just don't see that happening at all. It's in total violation of the Constitution. The only way you can remove a president before his term of office is up is through impeachment, and that's a long, drawn-out process. The only
right.
way you can remove a member of Congress is through their own disciplinary process. No judge, no amount of people can have a recall authority on a member of Congress. The only people that can remove Congress are their own fellow members. An individual member has to come before his own peers in Congress and is subject to their removing him. That's the only way that person can be removed involuntarily. That person in Congress can commit a felony, can be sent to prison, and is still a member of Congress until their term of office is up. It's the power of the voters, because if you allow that to happen, then people will manipulate that and they take away the will of the voter. Now, when the Constitution was drawn up, that was one of the reasons why the House of Representatives, their terms were at 2 years. Instead of having term limits, or instead of having power that they could be removed in a longer term, they said they wanted to honor the will of the people. And they said the people have the right to elect their representative. But to keep them honest, they put their terms at 2 years, so they had to be accountable to the people every 2 years. And then the Senate was at 6 years. And that created a check and balance in the system. And so that's the part of Nasara that I just don't see happening. Because it means somebody is going to come in. The only way that part of the Nasara could be enforced is if our military declares martial law and takes over the country under a martial law status. That's the only way that part of that can be upheld. They are the only ones that can do that, and yet they themselves would be violating the Constitution if they did do that. See, so, and the good people, the white hats in our military, I don't see them violating the Constitution because they took an oath of office to uphold the Constitution. So they'd be violating their own oath of office. They did. Okay, I need to go on to another caller, okay?
Thank you, and good night. God bless.
Okay, thanks a lot. Okay, all right. Okay, I'm going to Wes in Texas. Wes, how are you doing tonight?
We're doing well, and just a couple of comments. First, I'd like to reference that 30-minute YouTube that you posted earlier today. It was a masterful job of presenting a lot of information in a format that really lends itself to passing on to other people from different perspectives. So I would encourage everyone to watch that and pass it on.
Yep, watch
and
pass it on. And I trust it to go where it's supposed to go. So.
Yes. And next, I would like to second the notion that we have an opportunity to be co-creators in this process. We can choose to participate passively or actively, and it's just wonderful to know that we have that choice out there, law of attraction or however you want to put it. it's very exciting that we can be team participants in all this process. And that's all I've got to say. So thank you and good evening.
Oh, thank you, Wes. I really appreciate it. I always appreciate when you just call and make comments. And, you know, we're all in this together, and I get to do what I get to do because I love what I do, and it's my way of giving back and participating with folks. And, pass it on. My ego isn't stroked of whether I get 500 or 50,000 people reading, you know, watching that video. I just want it to do its job. So, okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Wes.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, good night. Okay, I am now going to a lady in my old
stomping
ground.
He's going to be able to take the caller
and
off it.
With area code 425, Don from Seattle. Don, you're on the air with me.
Oh, hi,
are
Dave.
You there?
This is Don.
You got area code
just,
425 and number 672.
Yeah.
That's Linwood.
Yes. Actually, I'm in Montlake Terrace near Edmonds. I've
oh, Montlake Terrace.
Before.
Okay.
Yes, your old stomping ground.
Yeah, and I lived in Edmonds over in the Five Corners area.
Yes, yeah, that's where I'm at pretty much. So I know you're almost up to the time, so let me just get a couple of things out really quick. Something that's confusing that just came out. Oki just came out with something this evening. Now, first of all, earlier today when Tony was on the call, you know, it was a very strange call if you listened to it. He almost was going to bring Oki on the line. And I thought, whoa, okay, this is happening. But then they, you know, DC said, no, we better wait till we get the numbers. So that kind of, you know, went down there. But tonight, Oki posted something. People were asking about the rates, and he's saying that in order to get the contract rate, that Wells Fargo will have the high contract rate for the dinar, and Chase will have the contract rate, high contract rate, China contract rate for the dong. And people kept asking him, you mean we can't do it all at one bank and we can't do it at the other? And he kept repeating, you know, he's got that sense of humor. I said this, you know, like that. Apparently Bank of America is not going to have the high rate, according to him, you know. And so that's kind of confusing, although Tony was not really saying that. He was saying you could go to any of the banks and get that contract rate.
Okay, let me do that. I've got
to
wrap
up. Comment?
I've only got I got a minute left. You know, that's one of those things that I take it in stride, I take it into consideration, and I'll look for confirmation on it. I know that Tony and Oki are basically in the same camp. They got the same, you know, sources of information and intel that comes to them. Those two work with each other a lot. And I think it'll be one of those things we'll see what it is when it happens. I don't put a lot of weight into it till I get more confirmation. Because,
okay.
I mean, they have good intentions, but we know Tony has been wrong, 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 wrong.
Yeah.
And nothing
yeah.
he has said has ever come to pass. Oki handles it with a little more integrity, but we'll just wait and see. That's how I see
yeah.
it. Okay?
The only last right. thing I want to say is that, you know, you and everybody keeps saying, you know, we need to be prepared and have our team together and all that. Well, I tried back in October, but, you know, you just can't even work with anybody until you have the money. And
I wouldn't worry about it.
You know what I'm saying? So don't even worry about it, right?
I didn't worry about it. You've got lots of time after you get your money to educate yourself what to do. You don't have to do it all at once, okay? I got to go.
Okay.
I'm running out
okay.
of time.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks. Thank you very, very much. Enjoyed having everybody on the air tonight. Always a pleasure. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the next week. They tell me I got 10 seconds left, so I'm signing off. Love you all. Good night.